The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 24th chapter. Jesus said to the 11 and those who were with them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Then Jesus led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple, blessing God. The Gospel of our Lord. God's grace and peace to you on this fabulous day of worship. Well, has anybody out there ever thought to themselves, "Man, Jesus, if you could just sit down and I could talk to you in person, this would all get better"? Yeah? Anybody? Me too. It's like, okay, I just wish I could sit down with you in person. If only Jesus was here. Well, he's not. And he is. Have you ever seen a movie or a play? Have you ever seen a movie or a play where one of the actors, one of the characters, is referenced multiple times and yet you never ever see them on the stage? Think about the TV show Seinfeld. There was a character named Bob Sacamano, and he was referenced in numerous episodes, and yet nobody ever saw Bob on any of the TV shows. So Bob was the guy that lived with Kramer for a year and a half. Bob was the guy that got rabies. Bob was the guy that went into the hospital for a hernia surgery and went bad, and now he's sitting by a window rocking, saying, "My name is Bob, my name is Bob." He's this character that George and Elaine and Kramer all interact with, but nobody ever sees him, not at all. And if you can believe what you read on the internet, apparently this Bob was a real friend of the writer of the TV series Seinfeld. But ascension is a little bit like Bob Sacamano. Jesus physically departs the earth, but is still very much active and alive. So here's where we are today in the whole arc of Jesus' life. As Pastor Carlos told you last Sunday, we are still in the Easter season. We have been since April 21st recounting the stories of Jesus' appearance after his resurrection until today. Thursday was actually the day of ascension. We're celebrating it today. And today you notice that those two stories in Luke and Acts, same story, told just a little bit differently. In Luke, ascension happens on Easter Day or very close to it. In Acts, Jesus' ascension happens 40 days after Easter. And in those 40 days, the disciples have seen the risen Lord eat bread and pass through locked doors so that they know that this is no ghost. Jesus has a real body. He eats, he talks, he sleeps, just like all the rest of them. And yet in the narrative of Jesus' life, in the arc of the story, he cannot stay on earth forever. And so he returns to be with God the Father who sent him to earth in the first place. He goes to be with God and is now seated, we use our language, at the right hand of God the Father. He is the Lord and King of all creation, heaven and earth. You've heard that before, right? He goes to be seated at the right hand of the Father. He is Lord of heaven and earth. So just a quick educational moment about what does heaven and earth mean? In the ancient world, Jews would not have thought about those two things as separate entities. And when we go to funerals, we will often say, "She's gone to heaven to be with Jesus." We think that heaven is up there somewhere in the sky, up in the cosmos that we can't find, we can't touch, we can't reach, who knows where. And yet in the Bible, heaven and earth are one complete creation. They are two halves of God's created universe. So if you think about like a soccer ball, it's got the leather stitched on the outside, it's got the inflatable rubber bladder on the inside, two parts of one whole, they are interlocking as one object. So in the Bible, heaven and earth are one object. Earth always contains another dimension, and that is heaven. Heaven's not out there where people can't find it. Heaven and earth are just connected. And so when Jesus departs and returns to God the Father, he now is inhabiting the space where God reigns. God is that divine reality, while humans on earth stay in this reality. But again, people would have understood those as both. And so on Ascension Day, we now say, because Jesus was at home on earth and came from a divine space, he is now Lord of heaven and earth. So Jesus is not here, and yet he is. Jesus' last words to the disciples in both Luke and Acts are to wait and stay until God sends the Holy Spirit. That's Pentecost next weekend. Wait and stay here until you get the power that I am sending to you from on high. They wait and they worship and they pray and they wait and they worship and they pray continually in the temple. They wait and they worship and they pray. Now, those words are not necessarily the words that embody our busy lives, are they? Very often we hurry on to the next thing that without stopping to reflect, without stopping to thank God, without stopping at all. But in worship, we wait upon the Lord for comfort and strength. We pause to listen for that still small voice that sometimes is just trying so desperately to get our attention. And the faster we go, it seems the more addicting it gets. A colleague of mine once confessed, she said, you know, I'm not even out of bed, and I've grabbed my phone, I'm checking my emails and the headlines and my texts. It's terrible. And culture tells us if we're not up to speed, then we're already behind. Gotta check the news. We hurry to the next appointment. And Jesus said, wait. Wait for that divine power that will soon come to them, the power of the Holy Spirit, who is promised to come to the church and to the earth, who will guide their every next step. And so God was preparing their hearts to carry on the mission. Challenge one. There's going to be two, so get ready. Challenge one. This week, I'm asking all of us to stop, to worship, to pray. Before we check our phone in the morning, say a prayer of gratitude to God, of thanks for the day. Before we read the headlines, we grab the cup of coffee and we sit with a Bible verse. Before we make another quick decision, pause. Ask God for guidance. Take a look again at that text from Ephesians in your bulletin, if you would. It's that second lesson on page 5. This is an incredible verse, a rich verse, because when we stop and wait and pray, this is what happens. Take a look at verse 17. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, will give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe. Oh my goodness. Take 5 minutes every day this week and read that verse. This is what happens when disciples stop and wait and worship and pray. When we tap into that power that God has given us, our eyes of our hearts are enlightened. We know the hope that God has for each of us. We know the immeasurable richness of his glory. So stop and wait and pray. It is in this way that we here on earth inhabit the heaven where Jesus is. And we think, if only Jesus was here to talk to, he is, and we are as well. And so waiting and worshiping and praying, brings us into that divine presence where the Lord of heaven and earth resides. Challenge one. The second theme of Ascension Day that I want us to sit with for just a minute is the words of Jesus to his disciples. You will be my witnesses. You will be my witnesses. You've got work to do, Jesus says. After you stop and wait and worship and pray for that power of the Spirit to come upon you, you've got work to do, right? Jesus was training the disciples that when he was gone, there's going to be a mission to carry on. There's going to be work to continue that he had started. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, the city, in Judea, in all of Samaria. And so now the arc of Jesus' life and mission resides with us. You and I, we are called to be the witnesses. In our baptismal call, Jesus says, you are to be salt and light. You are to share my word with the coming world, and now is the time. I was listening this week to another church professional bemoaning the fact that church attendance, denominations across all denominational spectrums are in the decline. People are not coming to church. Where are our young families? And I thought, you know, before we claim that we are victims, we better take a good hard look at what our Lord commanded us to do. Because Jesus said, you are to be my witnesses. And if we haven't shared that story, then I don't know that we can decry our declining membership. We are to share the story. So there's a professor at Wheaton College in Illinois, and he and about 25 students go out every single month, and they witness to people. Now, hang on to your seats. I know this doesn't sound Lutheran, but just go with me for a minute. So it scares the students, but they do it anyway. And so the professor and about three students were out on a Friday night in Chicago, and their only objective is to talk with people who are waiting for a train, waiting for the bus, sitting on a park bench. And they simply go up and say, can I talk to you about Jesus? We're out tonight talking with people about Jesus. And he said about 50% of them turn him down. But that means the other 50% don't. And one night they talked to a Jewish man who got defensive right away, and he said, you're not going to convert me. I'm a Jew. And the professor said, well, Jesus was a Jew. And they laughed, and they had a really good conversation. He grew up in an Orthodox home, but was now not keeping a kosher kitchen and not living in Orthodox Jewish religion, or faith, I should say. They stopped another man, and he was a single parent. And in the course of the conversation, he freely admitted that his two early adolescent sons would probably need some guidance in values and ethics as they navigated this crazy world that we're living in. They had another conversation with a woman, a college student who was waiting for her uncle to arrive on the train. And she said, yeah, I went to church when I was a little girl. I loved Jesus. I loved to know those stories, but it just isn't relevant anymore. But they finished their conversation, and she said, you know, I needed to hear this tonight, and I'm so thankful that the Lord sent you. Because the Lord did send them. Before they go out to talk, they stop, they pray, and they say, Lord Jesus, we're here tonight to be available to who you want us to talk to, whoever the Holy Spirit is preparing their hearts for a conversation. Just allow us to be open and ready for that. Okay, I know that doesn't sound very Lutheran. For some of us, just passing the peace is an act of evangelism. But here's my second challenge. Here's my second challenge to us. This week, as we worship and as we wait and as we pray to God, I'm inviting all of us to think about one person, a friend, a neighbor. Start small, right? Start right here in Jerusalem with the people that around you that you know. Who needs to know the love of God? Who needs an invitation to church? Who needs to hear you say, God gave me peace about something? Who needs to hear you say, I was comforted by God when? Who is waiting for an invitation from you to come to church and hear the word of God? Or even if they don't want to come in this building, to just have a short conversation. I'm so excited because of these 70 kids that are coming to VBS this week. I can guarantee you that some of them have never heard the story of Jesus. And I'm so excited that God has registered them and brought them here, and we're going to do our best to share that love of Jesus. You will be my witnesses, Jesus says. Are we taking that seriously? I sure hope that we are, because we need to. You will be my witnesses. It's Ascension Day. May the Lord of heaven and earth bless us with power and praise and courage, not only to sit and wait and pray, but also to tell the story. Thanks be to God. Amen.